1 for breaking news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor. The Talk of Connecticut. AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
How important is voter integrity to you? This is just, and I've asked this question a number of times, and I've also been asked the question in return, Gary, who do you think will win? I'm asked that probably by somebody on air or off the air, more often off the air, on a daily basis. Gary, who do you think will win? And my answer has not changed since day one. If you asked me this question a year ago, 6 months ago, or today, it's the same answer. The person who wins will not necessarily be the person who is declared the winner. I think they're two different things. So then, of course, the follow-up question I'm usually asked is, so then you don't believe in there's voter integrity. In which my answer is, I don't think it's necessarily all deliberate. I don't think it's necessarily all intentional. But there is voter fraud. Now, it can be argued, and many of you know, I'm a bit of a historian. I do like to read the presidential biographies and autobiographies, regardless of party affiliate, regardless of if it was the 1700s, the 1800s, 1900s, or the current day. There's been voter fraud since the beginning of the elections. It's how rampant it is. You know, a ballot here or there that kind of slips through the cracks, it's not enough to determine the outcome. An endeavor where every U.S. citizen over the age of 18 is entitled to vote. If you don't think there's going to be some missteps, you know, I've got a nice bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. That's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about intentional fraud. Intentional. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 9/11 here on this Tuesday morning. Glad to have you on board the old morning train. Our next guest into the Daley Connerton Memorial Company interview chair has joined us in the past, though it's been a while since we've had her in. She, and I know you remember her because our phones were lit up like a Christmas tree the two or three times that she's been with us. But it's been a while. I don't know why it's been so long, but boy, does she have a lot of info to catch us up on. She didn't even tell me what the big secret, the big story that she has is. She wouldn't tell me that at all. She told me a couple of little things, and I'm like, that's not even the big story? It's going to make your head spin. From vitevoterfraud.org, let's welcome back to the show, Linda Simkowitz. Linda, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
It is great to see you again. How have you been? Other than busy, because I know everything you've told me earlier. I mean, I don't know how you have time for rest or time for yourself.
Neither of those. It is nonstop between myself and my staff. And not only are we working on things in Connecticut, we are actually nationwide.
You're
now
in all 50 states.
All 50 states.
And it started right here in Connecticut.
Yes, it did, because of the fraud in Middletown, Connecticut.
Oh wow, it's Middletown. And then the fraud with Jeter there, Wanda, down in Bridgeport.
Yes.
Bridgeport, there's always some problems with that. Do you anticipate more problems in Bridgeport, or is it much wider scope than that?
It's much wider scope than that. It's not just Bridgeport. It's all over the place.
All right, so hold off on the biggie for a moment. The couple of nuggets that you told me off the air, I really thought that, because that was, they were pretty significant. And I got to tell you, Linda, I thought that was the biggie. And you're like, oh, no, no. So, folks, I don't have any inside information on what the big one that she's going to be revealing here. Actually, you'll be revealing it for the first time on this show. First time you reveal it anywhere.
Anywhere, correct. Nationwide over this week. It'll be out there.
But you're going to debut it. You're going to announce it here.
I am debuting it here. And the only other person that is aware of this is Ken Cuccinelli, our former Deputy of Homeland Security. And he was the former AG of Virginia. He and I had a conversation about this yesterday.
Okay, so hold off on the big one.
I will.
I'll let you choose, Linda.
Well,
where do you want to start?
Let's start with Wanda the ballot stuffer.
Okay, let's start
all right
there.
So she has two different things that went on back in 2019, which her case, it's been 5 years, and they finally had the arrest warrants, and October 17th will be the fourth time she's going to court. We show up there with our Fight Voter Fraud shirts and hats. Well, not hats. We keep our hats
nice.
On.
You,
our
you have nice hair, so yeah.
You know, and our proud vigilante shirts as well. Thank mm-hmm. you, Attorney General Tong, for us now selling those. And the last time we were there, they had to continue it again because, let's see, the state needed more discovery. It's been
what does that mean?
5 years. You're telling me that we don't have all the information you need to move forward after 5 years? Oh. Well, that notwithstanding. So our stuff that we filed back on November 21st of 2023 concerning where everybody in the world has seen Wanda the Ballot Stuffer on TV, you know, slamming all those absentee ballots into the ballot boxes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to skip forward to the fact that we made it into the Connecticut Supreme Court. So in the Connecticut Supreme Court, that was on May 1st. Prior to that, Attorney General Tong on Channel 61 called us vigilantes. So this is where the vigilante comes from.
Yes. How are you vigilantes?
He just said because we were bringing this forward to the Supreme Court using a law that was actually in 1868 is when this law was put on the books in Connecticut. It was revised back in 1953 and used once in 1959. It basically said if three electors in a town find that another elector, voter, violate any election law, mm-hmm. and they have the evidence and they sign an affidavit, they can then go directly to a Superior Court judge who shall issue the arrest warrant. So we used that with Wanda and Anita back on November 21st. Long and short, it went through the whole process. I also brought in 206 other arrest warrants, Middletown, New Haven, and Milford. The way we got into the Supreme Court, thank goodness for the judge in New Haven that wanted his findings published the following week in the Connecticut Law Journal, forgot about the 10-day window that everybody else knew about to prevent us from going directly to the Supreme Court. So long and short, we made it to the Supreme Court, but not over those. They decided to take the Wanda and Anita one. So Attorney General Tong decided to call us vigilantes. Now, a vigilante is a group of citizens that take the law into their own hands without legal authority when legal authority is not doing their job. Well, he's darn right. You're not doing your job, but we have the right because the legislators gave us that right as citizens by putting 9-368 into the law books. And as of today, it is still on the books. So we bring it to the Supreme Court. We got the findings about a week and a half ago. And this is what the Connecticut Supreme Court said. They didn't rule on the merit of the case. They decided to rule on standing. They have declared that the three voters from Bridgeport were not harmed in any way by the stuffing and the fraudulent ballots that Wanda and Anita had put into the system. But they used Massachusetts law. How does
Connecticut use Massachusetts law?
Yes.
When Connecticut has its own Connecticut law.
Correct.
So I
it makes no sense. My attorney yesterday filed a motion to, I guess, I forgot what it's called, but to look at it again. And he is basically asking our Connecticut Supreme Court to use Connecticut law. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, they
I wonder, like, if you break a law in Connecticut, if I broke a law in Connecticut and I got arrested for it or pulled over for it, can I just say, yeah, but this isn't illegal in Massachusetts? Can I say that?
How chances of you actually getting arrested in Connecticut for just about anything
that's true.
Is so minute. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
we don't have laws that are being followed. We have an attorney general that does his best not to follow Connecticut laws. Like I said, with 9-368, it's right there on the books. They did everything possible not to have us go to the Supreme Court and then to be slandered by the attorney general.
End of story. Where does this go from here?
It may be the end of the road with our attorney asking them to look at it again. basically everybody across the country has written Connecticut off. I mean, Connecticut is awful. Our judicial system, the laws are not being followed. And just wait to the end of the program when I give you my bombshell. That's okay. Going to solidify everything.
Are you ready for your next little nugget?
Yes.
Okay, so then hold on.
Yes.
Let's do this because I have some flexibility on this break, but I'd rather take it right now. So come back and you're fresh in your next story here.
Okay.
Let's take a quick 60-second break and we'll come back with Linda Simkowitz from VoteVoterFraud.org right after this.
Hi, Mike from Associated Insurance Benefits.
And I'm the other Mike from Associated Insurance Benefits.
Mike and Mike.
Doesn't matter that we're Mike and Mike. All people care about is getting the right information and the right plan for Medicare. And we're local.
And it doesn't cost a dime to get the right options or the best plan. Learn about big changes to prescription coverage next year.
Just call Mike or Mike, 860-621-7766.
Or search Associated Insurance Benefits.
Does not offer every plan in your area. Please contact Medicare or your local state health insurance program.
Gary Byron here, reminding you to join me every Saturday morning at 9 for Healthier Teeth with Dr. Mohammadi on the Columbia Dental Show. Tune in and let your smile shine. Saturdays, 9 o'clock, Baco, Connecticut.
It's a win-win-win.
Gary Byron and Joe the Producer have the pulse of Hartford. 103.3 and Litchfield, 104.5.
I first became aware of our guest through Dominic Rapini, who normally would be in this very morning talking. He's out of state. He'll be back with us 2 weeks from today. But the very first time we had her on, it was with Dominic Rapini. And then she made a couple of appearances on her own. What a popular guest. She provoked a lot of phone calls at the bottom half. I'm talking, of course, of Linda Simkowitz. Linda, before you continue, folks, if you want to call and get into the queue, our phone lines are wide open, 860-243-1360. So that when we go to open phones at the bottom half, if you've got a question for Linda Simkowitz, we can take your phone calls. All right, Linda, I'm ready for this next nugget as we work progressively into the big bombshell that you have awaiting for us next half hour.
So back on July 9th, I emailed Stephanie Thomas, our Secretary of State, Kirsten Sullivan, Ben Proto from the Republicans, and Nancy DiNardo with the Democrats, because we're a 501c4 nonprofit, nonpartisan. And when I have questions for the Secretary of State, I want as many people on record as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So what I asked for was something so simple. I wanted to know when the Registrar of Voters in Connecticut, when were they hired or appointed, when were they certified, and their education hours. Because here in the state of Connecticut, Registrar of Voters have 2 years to get certified. They have to take 8 classes.
Mm.
They have to take a test at the end. It's a 2-hour test that's 50 questions, yes or no, multiple choice. They only have to score a 70.
That's it? 70?
70. And it's open book. Unheard of. Unheard of. I mean, can you imagine if you're a plumber?
If it's an open book, you shouldn't even say, you should score a 90 or 100.
I know. And you have 2 years to get this certification done. And it's under Connecticut state statute that they must be certified within 2 years. And then every year after, they have to take a certain number of hours of classes through ROVAC. Now, there's a discrepancy between either it's 8 or 18. We can't tell. There was some laws that got jumbled. So we wanted that as well. So that was on July 9th. On October 8th, we finally get a document. Now, you and I as citizens are supposed to expect from any government agency, state or federal, that when we're sent something, it needs to be accurate because we rely on that,
right,
as citizens.
Sure. Yeah.
This was some of the biggest group of garbage I've ever seen in my life. It was incomplete, inaccurate, and it didn't even include all 169 towns, which apparently there's not 106, I mean, whatever. So I sent an email back saying, could you at least please include the education hours? So far, that's from August 8th, and we have been hearing crickets. So what we decided to do at Fight Voter Fraud was a couple of days before Labor Day, that Thursday and Friday, we put together, thank you, Tim, my assistant, thank you, 169 FOIA requests under the Freedom of Information that we sent to every mayor, town selectman, town manager, whoever runs the town in Connecticut. And then we also sent a separate one to every single attorney for every town. Now, the reason why we did this is we wanted to make sure the towns were aware of the ramifications if their registrars are not certified. So since then, we also sent out on that Tuesday an email to all the mayors just to make sure they got it. And basically the line toward the bottom was that if you don't have both registrars that are certified within their time frame, they pretty much can't run an election. I mean, because, you know, electricians and plumbers, everybody
sure,
needs to
right.
get certified.
Yep.
What makes registrars so special? They do not have to follow any of the laws that the state of Connecticut legislators put into effect.
So how many registrars are certified then?
Well, at that time, according to the Secretary of State's information, which again is inaccurate, there was 148 that were not out of 338.
Oh my goodness.
Some of them have the excuses of being under 2 years. Okay. And others have been in office for 10 years and haven't been certified. But it's not only that, their education hours, and what we also asked for was something so simple, an ED-632. The ED-632 is the canvassing document signed by both registrars that between January 1st and April 30th, they did their canvassing. What we have now done over the last 6 weeks, aside from the fact that I joke that any elected officials need to have a cognitive test, unbelievable, we have scanned in every single document we have received from either registrars or mayors or, you know, the nasty things that attorneys send us, and we are going to have that on the website. So everybody is going to be able to see what we were sent. I got to tell you, there's some registrars, phenomenal. Peter and Lucien from New Britain, kudos to you guys. Wow. You are fantastic. You know your job, you know what you're doing, and I got to apologize now. I have been sending other registrars. If you can't figure out how to do this, please contact them. I mean, it got so to the point now that it's past the Freedom of Information time. We are now putting refused for every town that would not even get back to us. I mean, it is a disaster. We're almost done with it. My attorney suggested that we do an expose. I mean, listing out every town and every registrar with everything they provided and what laws are being violated. But the key thing is, there's a few towns that are not legally able to hold the election in November based on state statute.
So does this mean some towns will not be holding elections?
Oh, they're going to bypass that. Come on.
Yeah, because they haven't been following the laws to begin
yeah,
with.
I mean, and the Secretary of State, is Stephanie Thomas going to step in and do her job? You haven't done it so far, so we don't expect it from you now. And I hope somebody is listening when I'm saying this, because I mean it.
Do you care to mention any of those towns?
Not at this point, because we want to make sure we have the complete stuff for Connecticut. Next week, I'll definitely have it by next week. We are making sure we cross our T's and we dot our I's. But we are going to make sure we have every single town's information up on the website so people can download it. They will be able to see the certificates we're sent that are completely black.
So somebody could be listening to this right now and thinking, yeah, I can't wait to vote for the people I want to vote for on the ticket in my town when I go to vote. Only to find out that their vote wasn't counted intentionally because their registrar did not fulfill the requirements to be a registrar, and the party that they're representing must also be held accountable because each party chairman appoints the registrar. So they're also held accountable.
Oh, everybody is. But they're going to circumvent it, and I know exactly how they're doing it because we've already seen it.
Okay.
One town actually had both registrars resign, but one of them's going to stay on as a deputy.
All right. Who wants to win money? And if you want John O'Hurley tickets, that's coming up in the next half hour. How about, can you text? How about $1,000 or $100?
It's the talk of Connecticut's Patriot Bucks.